KMPL.ca newsroom for this week, Marty Thompson and Charlie O'Connor Clark. Charlie, I'm glad I sent this rundown to you last night just before the Toronto Maple Leafs played the Montreal Canadiens, because otherwise I don't think you would have read it.
No, I would not. I absolutely would not have, and might not have this morning either.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the Leafs for a little bit.
Do we have to?
That shorthanded goal on the knees, that was a strange way for it all to end in game one against the Canadiens. What do you think? Like, I don't think they're going. Like, there's no way they're winning. There's no way. That doesn't
Montreal?
Happen. No, the Leafs. There's no way. Like, it doesn't happen anymore. Like, right. You know that.
All right. Right? All right. All right. Marty is an Ottawa Senators fan, for the record. So we will just let that hang.
I did not realize that the last time the Leafs had won a playoff series, I was 11 years old cheering for Martin Havlat in the Ottawa Senators. So
yeah,
well, different time.
Anyway, it was a bad night. I think I just hope John Tavares is all right. Anyway,
yes, yeah, that was a very scary moment. Thoughts go out to him. Hopefully everything turns out all right. On that note, let's talk about the Canadian men's national team.
What a segue.
Anyways, big week for the men's national team, for their players playing in Europe. Maybe are like just coming back to this a little bit late. Maybe it's a bit stale, but it's worth mentioning, like, you know, Kyle Larin and Atiba Hutchinson winning the Turkish double this week, the league and cup. You obviously had Scott Arfield celebrating in Scotland, you know, Atiba Hutchinson, Alphonso Davies with Bayern Munich. Like, you wrote quite a bit about this on Monday, Charlie. Like, there is just something so very surreal to this. There could be, what, if we think there's maybe six or seven Canadians playing in the Champions League next year, like potentially all in the group stage. Like, there's just something so like surreal to this moment, right?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to maybe take a step back and think about it sometimes. But yeah, I think if everybody stays at their club, which isn't a given fact at all, then we've got six Canadians in the Champions League. Then if, you know, if Steven Eustachio maybe moves up to another club, which he's kind of rumored to do, that's seven. Anyway, yeah, I think it's something that we can't really take for granted. Like, we kind of go the whole year just being a little disconnected from it, especially when the national team isn't actually playing all that much. And we're like, well, we see, obviously, Davies is a massive story, but then sometimes the guys like Larin and Hutchinson go a little under the radar because, you know, not a lot of casual fans are paying much attention to Turkey, for better or for worse. I mean, I think
They would be now.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, Atiba Hutchinson has been, you know, a living legend over there for a while, and I think he's starting to get a little bit more of his due, which is very good. Jonathan David, we'll talk about him a little bit more in a sec, obviously, because he's not done yet.
he's sort of the name hanging out all of this, because there could be one more title, right?
Yeah, but I think basically the thing is, how many of the biggest soccer stories in the world this year have you, like, you have to include a Canadian when you talk about it, right? I mean, Bayern Munich is one of the best teams in the world, and one of their most important players is a 20-year-old playing for the Canadian national team. I mean, again, we can't dance around Lille, who might bring a French championship to the north for the first time in a while and to kind of dethrone PSG. Knocking on the wood really hard, though. Jonathan David is a big part of that. And I mean,
Jonathan David and Yilmaz just crushing it up top.
Yilmaz. In Turkey, I mean, Kyle Larin kind of had a real sort of dip in his career and his production, and he's come back into the Turkish team. He's won his place in the squad, and he's been fantastic all year. He's been at least one of the best strikers in the whole league, if not the best. And I mean, Scott Arfield, I don't necessarily I think I'll be pretty open with how reluctant I am to credit Rangers Football Club, but yeah, it's amazing. It's really incredible what they've done this year, and really special to see Scott Arfield being a part of that.
Yeah, Charlie just wearing his heart on his sleeve there. okay, it's there's something just so bizarre to even this past weekend, right? Where you sit down and you watch and flipped on Wolves and Tottenham, thought maybe Corbiander will get his debut, and he did. He looked all right, and then obviously went on to score like a goal or two, I think, with the reserve team. And then Daniel Jeppinson, a player that has spent some time in Ontario before moving on to Sheffield United. Like, he comes on and he scores in his first, he's the youngest player to debut and score on his debut, I should say. And I mean, he's men's national team eligible, and you're just sitting there, you're just watching. You're like, right. Like, you're bang on with that point, Charlie. Like, now you can't really even sit down and watch the Premier League without something happening, which is strange to say.
And it's, I think the craziest part is, I think maybe 10 years ago, if Daniel Jeppinson came in and debuted in the Premier League, isn't even committed to the Canadian national team yet, it'd be by far the biggest story of the weekend. Yes. But this particular weekend, it was, I don't know, fourth, maybe?
No, yeah, it was surreal. It just gets lost. Yeah. Okay, that brings us to Jonathan David and Lille. 3 p.m. against Angers on One Soccer on Sunday. Win, and they are Ligue 1 champions. They can still win. I think they're a point up on PSG, so there's still some breathing space there. But a Canadian could win the French title. Give us maybe a bit of a rundown on Lille. Like, you already mentioned, like, they haven't won a title since 2011, 2012. Yeah. PSG is just the boss there all the time, and Jonathan David is ultimately, like, you know, helping and leading the line anyways into this title push, right?
Yeah, and they've definitely come a long way this year. I mean, last year, before Jonathan David got there, they weren't in the Champions League spots. But this year, they've been one of the best defensive teams in the whole French league. And obviously, they've kind of started picking up these bigger and bigger results as the season has gone on. And honestly, a big part of that has been Jonathan David settling into the squad a little more. He's got this really good kind of partnership going now with Yilmaz, as we mentioned, and it's kind of crazy, but like, for Lille to win the league this weekend, they might need Jonathan David to do it for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to score a goal. And I mean, it's almost what you would expect, because he's been really good recently. I don't know if we've mentioned it, he scored 12 goals, which I think is more than any Canadian has ever scored in a top five league, which is pretty bonkers. But yeah, he's gotten better as the season has gone on. Lille has gotten better as the season gone on. They're a very good team at the back that you really have trouble. I think even PSG had trouble with them every time. And I mean, they've got guys like Neymar and Kylian Mbappe trying to break through. So yeah, I think basically what we're going to be watching for is Lille to kind of play their game and then hope that Jonathan David or Burak Yilmaz kind of hops on a counterattack or something like that to put the game away, which will be pretty exciting to watch, I think.
3 p.m. Sunday on One Soccer. Can't miss that game. You also can't miss the Canadian men's national team to sort of finish this arc, playing two World Cup qualifiers in June, in a couple weeks. We're expecting to see the squad pretty shortly, if maybe not next week. I know things are always a little bit different with COVID, but taking on Aruba and then the big one against Suriname. We'll talk about Suriname in a bit, but like, what are your expectations? Well, like, what are your expectations with this squad and sort of these bigger World Cup qualifiers coming up? Gareth Wheeler, One Soccer, mentioned that he had heard that through a source that Scott Arfield will not be included. Maybe it leaves a spot in the midfield for maybe like a, if you want to call it like a first choice Canada. Like, give me some names. Like, how would you expect this squad? Maybe the question is, how would you expect this squad to be different than the one that John Herbin brought out against Bermuda and the Cayman Islands?
Yeah. So the thing is, I'm not sure it is or necessarily needs to be much different. I think maybe if as we'll get to, if Suriname wasn't as challenging or threatening an opponent as it looks like it might be, then maybe you'd have some more room to maybe experiment, bring guys in, get some cap ties in or something like that. There'll still be space in the squad for that, of course, but I think this needs to be you can't really afford to take risks at this point, because mm-hmm. you absolutely have to win both these games pretty much. I mean, obviously Jonathan Osorio is probably going to come back in. He wasn't in the previous squad, if he's healthy. So that's one spot. And then there's maybe some of the guys that haven't been able to get to camps in the past that maybe you want to bring in a little bit. I think even some of the players from the Olympic squad maybe get a look here, even like a Lucas Diaz, but Tijon Buchanan.
Really? Wow. Diaz would be a great shout.
It would be an interesting one. And I know I just said that you don't want to bring guys in to cap tie them, but maybe bring him in to cap tie him. Like as soon as possible, to be honest.
Yeah. Moving on. Yeah, I think Tijon Buchanan deserves this at this time, you mm-hmm. know? Like why not? I don't think DS deserves it just yet. But no, I mean, but you're bang on the, like, Jonathan David also probably there, depending on, again, if there's any sort of COVID restrictions. I want to see Donnell Henry there as well. He scored in South Korea. I think he's still, like, we're working on a Canadian men's national team depth chart for the website. And I saw your list and you put him maybe the eighth, seventh. He's much higher than that.
I was a little tough on him.
I still think he's got a chance. I still think it's there. So I would like to see him there as well. But I mean, yeah, but you're bang on. Other than that, what else do you change, right?
Yeah, you don't really need to. I mean, that squad that Canada brought to those last World Cup qualifiers was pretty close to a full strength squad, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, minus obviously guys that couldn't get there for restrictions and injuries. I mean, there wasn't really anybody left out just for the sake of rotating the squad a little bit. So I think I would expect pretty much the same sort of deal. I would expect basically the same starting 11 in the Suriname game as Canada put out against Bermuda, except probably with Jonathan David in the mix. And I think that's all that you can really expect. I think where we'll really start to see the experimentation and the guys being given chances will be closer to the Gold Cup in July.
Mm-hmm. So you said the word, you said the magic word, Suriname. So they're good now. Tell the people.
Ostensibly, yes, they're good on paper now. It's really really crazy. Basically, Suriname has just recruited pretty much anybody in the Dutch top flight with any kind of Surinamese heritage, because I think they have some sort of new rules over there where you can be eligible if. I don't know if I don't really know how the eligibility works, but basically what's happened is they now have 16 players who have played in the Eredivisie, and they're all kind of coming into the squad for the first time. I mean, they've got, I think their captain only has two caps for Suriname, Ryan Donk, but he's played in La Liga and he's played in the Premier League for West Brom. He's been playing for Galatasaray in Turkey for the last little while. He's probably the best, a better defender than anybody Canada has. Although he is 35.
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of players on this squad that have really good experience in, you know, the Dutch top flight or leagues of that sort of level. Some guys have played in Belgium, and they've got a forward, Geraldo Becker, who currently plays for Union Berlin in the Bundesliga, which is a pretty fun little team to watch sometimes. And he's a big part of it. This is a very interesting team. There are guys with a lot of pedigree here. They won't be very familiar with each other at all. There's literally only, I think, two players on this squad with more than two or three caps.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Almost everybody here is new. It's really hard to get a read on what this squad is going to look like. I just don't know.
But maybe not in the top six or eight or of CONCACAF, but getting closer to that.
Yeah, I think on paper they're probably scarier than maybe they'll end up being on the pitch, just because they're so new together. They're also, I mean, most of these players that they've recruited are in their 30s, we should point out. Which, you know, I mean, sometimes will make it a little bit more difficult to bring a new team together, especially when they have to travel over from Europe.
Exactly. But anyway, and something that they're not used to doing, right? Like, this is like a whole new experience for a lot of them, and they're kind of coming in at a difficult time.
I mean, some of them are certainly representing a country that they've never been to. I think there's
Canada, like,
I think
there's some experience in that, though, to be
fair. Of course we do. Yes. I think there's seven players on this current squad that were born in Suriname, which is actually maybe more than I expected. But yeah, I think you'd still expect Canada to win this game. I still think, obviously, Canada's highest talents are still significantly better than anybody Suriname has to offer. They have nobody close to an Alphonso Davies or even a Jonathan David kind of level. And a lot of the players that are still playing at high levels there aren't necessarily, you know, the first name on the team sheet for their clubs. But it's more that they have a ton of experience, and that's always a big boon in international football. But I think you still expect Canada to win this game. That being said, anything can happen, and we've seen anything happen. We've seen everything happen with this Canadian team. So
we've seen everything happen in CONCACAF as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Next, it's in the first week of June, June 5th. That's a Saturday. Canada will take on Aruba, Aruba in the 200s in world ranking. So that should be a victory, to say the least, for Canada. And then the Suriname game coming the following Tuesday. Both games on One Soccer. Get your subscription in to watch those very important World Cup qualifiers. Okay, before we get to Andrew Jean-Baptiste, which was a great interview, recorded it just before this.
Yeah.
we cover a lot, mostly food trucks, and just eating. Like, what did we talk about? Just like food. Yeah, it was good.
Food and driving really fast.
Yeah, right, I forgot. Driving through the North and South Dakota. All-State Soccer Show coming up next weekend. Go ahead and sign up for that. I'll be hosting Alan Kosh and Tommy Wheeldon Jr. As I already mentioned, the show, we're looking to get them to hate each other. And then also got a great player panel, looking forward to talking to like Shami Chom, like great stories there. Same goes with Peter Chalet. Hopefully I'll get him to say some bad words about Corey Bent. They just seem like the best of friends. That's just like, come on. Like, you can't be best of friends out of university. You can't keeping university friends out of that long is rare, but I guess you just get to keep working with each other. So it works out. And then hopefully we'll have some CPL news next week. Fingers crossed. Hopefully we can get the 2021 season underway. We're joined by Andrew Jean-Baptiste of Valor FC in Winnipeg and training. That must feel nice. Yes.
The best feeling. The best feeling. You know, I mean, we don't have any restaurants or cafes to go to, but we're able to do the one thing that we came here to do, and that's play. So, you know, it's I guess you got to take what you can get.
And just quickly, so you came from New York, right?
Yeah.
What has that been like during the pandemic? Like, obviously the beginning was quite tragic for that city, but like, you know, you're in close confines. That's a tough city to manage. Like, how was that, I guess, this off season?
Difficult. It's just like I've actually been, you know, out and about. You know, New York, you know, was moderately open, 50% capacity in some areas, you know, and my brother left the state a few times. I've left the state once or twice to head down to a training camp in Miami. Oh, yeah, I know. I made it out unscathed, boys. couldn't believe it. But, you know, it was it was hard for a little bit, you know, because, you know, I'm not the kind of guy to like collect unemployment. I like to earn my money. So, you know, I kind of went out there and just, you know, kept myself occupied with as much work as I could do and, you know, keeping it football related and obviously, you know, keeping my fitness at the best that it could be. So, you know, making it out of there without having to deal with, you know, a possible positive result, you know, and, you know, stunt my return back to Winnipeg even longer. I think I came out on the better end. And, yeah, happy to be back.
Yeah. But I mean, you're back in Winnipeg now. I don't know how long you've been back here. I assume
about over a month now. Over a month,
right?
Because
I assume you probably had to quarantine when you got back here.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did my 2 week quarantine, and then shocking is when I came across the border. Apparently, there's like a test that you're supposed to be given. Like there's like a take home COVID test, and yeah, maybe because it was late when I drove through the border, but they completely forgot. So when day 10 came and arrived, Can was like, "Oh yeah, you gotta take your test," and I'm just like, "Don't got one." So I just had to like, I really had to like improvise. I like left the house with just like, you know, I looked like I was hiding from paparazzi, like glasses, hoodie, freaking like two masks. You know what I mean? Like the last thing I'm going to get is like, oh yeah, Drew broke COVID into Winnipeg. Like, nah, you know, I'm like, I was on my thing, you know.
Did you have to go to like a provincial building to like get a test? You have to go back to the border? Like,
No. I just went through one of the drive-through tests, and then
okay, you're good.
Got one of those, and then when the test came back negative, you know, I'm over here thinking, I'm ready. I'm good. Like, you know, the cafe's right down the street. I was like, yeah. And then, you know, I got texted by our immigration lawyer, and she said, no, you still have to wait like another 4 more days. So,
oh man.
Yeah, I know. It's like you're free-ish.
Well, like we want to ask like what you think of Winnipeg, but it sounds like this year and last year combined, like you haven't been able to do anything.
You know, I've heard a lot of great things about Winnipeg. I just yet to see it, unfortunately. You know, like it's it kind of sucks to be honest with you, but you know, even throughout the pandemic and during the times now, you know, you've gotten like small stints of, you know, of social life, you know, cafes and restaurants being open. So you got to see it to like an extent, but I can't say that you saw what Winnipeg is fully capable of. And, you know, I hope to see it, you know, later in the future. You know, I want to see what, you know, what, why Winnipeg people like Winnipeg so much, you know, like, but most importantly, I know that. And I can say this probably that people live up to their slogan out here. It's friendly Manitoba. So, you know, that's for sure is something that they live up to. And that's something I can say here and say, yeah, people out here are absolutely amazing.
For sure. I mean, I think definitely, there's definitely a lot of things that you haven't seen yet. And there's gotta be some reasons why people seem to stay there.
Just a few.
Before we move on to, you know, soccer, did you say that you drove there? From New York? It's a long drive.
Yeah, I drove. Drove about. Luckily for me, I know a few people along the way. So I stopped in. I stopped in Ohio first, just go see my aunt in Cincinnati and my uncle and my cousin. Stayed there for a few hours. Obviously, they basically put me in my own room. I didn't like hug them or high five them.
Yeah,
just like, oh, nice to see you, go that way. So talk through a door and stuff like that, because actually prior my uncle had COVID, and so I mean he recovered and everything, but they were just being very precautious. They were also looking out for me, and you know, obviously it would be one heck of a drive for me to go all the way to the border and then find out that I have COVID and I can't even get into the country. So then after that, I got me in like a nice secluded hotel in Chicago, stayed there for a little bit. People were out and about there, but couldn't even enjoy it. I just kind of looked from the window, just like, huh, must be nice, you know. And then just head straight up to head up through the border.
And then you went through like the Dakotas or something? Like,
yeah.
How was that drive?
It's like lonely out there, man. I don't know how truckers do it, man. Truck drivers, I give my kudos to you, because obviously you guys, you know, transport so much stuff, but God, that drive is just so lonely. It's, you know, it's like you're just on a long, long road. You don't see anybody for miles and miles. It's like, God, you know, it's sad sometimes, but I have a heavy foot. So I drove fast and I got here in record time, actually. But I was actually actually had to get to the border faster, because Damien, our coach, our assistant coach, he called me and told me that the immigration officers leave at 12. I was 16 hours from Chicago. So you can only imagine how fast I drove from Chicago to the border, 16 hours away. And I left at 12 that afternoon. So,
That's amazing. So you were just like, you're sprinting downstairs in the hotel, eh? You got your bags everywhere. Like, you got to go right then?
Yeah, because it kind of like I like woke up that morning. I was just like, oh yeah, didn't really check the GPS, and I put it in. It was like 2 o'clock. You're gonna arrive. Oh, got it in, got it out. You know, filled it up with gas and just, you know what I mean?
That is
Yes,
amazing.
not that many bathroom breaks, and then when they were on the side of the road, unfortunately. You see how determined I was to get back to my city? You see how that?
Like,
That's
I mean, that's it,
yeah.
right? You haven't had any chance to spend in Winnipeg, and you're literally racing to get back. Okay, so when
Racing back to a life of unknown. Like, I didn't even know what kind of life I'd have when I
So,
got
okay, so we'll get to soccer eventually. You've talked to us before that you're when you're done playing, you want to start a food truck. Is that right?
Yeah, that's also one of my side hustles that, you know, I really want to get into, and I feel like it's a big part of me because small side story, when I was younger, I actually said I wanted to be a food critic. So and
Whoa, in New
no, yeah,
York.
no, I just in general, like I didn't care where. I just loved food. I was like a little fat kid back then, and I just loved food. So wherever I can get it, I wanted to try it. And partly because, you know, like my three like biggest things about me and that I love so much is football, traveling, and food. You know, and these are kind of the three things I kind of want to focus on more after I'm done playing. So definitely coaching, training kids, and you know, and a food truck. You know, and a food truck is, you know, you could travel. It's mobile. You know, I don't have to stay in just a restaurant. You know, I take it down to Florida and just, you know, learn whatever the permit is, buy the permit and park it up on the side of the beach. And you know, like these are the things I want to do in my time after
So
this.
do you cook a lot? I'm trying to map this out. Like, what are you gonna sell here? Oh, I want to hear the pitch.
Okay, hold on. Let me see here. I actually wrote
Different
up a
menu.
few actually no, I actually wrote up a few memories. Did I lose you guys? Did
No.
you guys still see me though?
We can
We can
hear you.
hear
We
you.
can't see it.
Yeah? All right, hold on. Let me just try to pull up.
Maybe
Let me just see.
go off memory, maybe, if we could still see it.
Yeah, all right. So I mean, right off the bat, there's gonna be empanadas, beef patties, quesadillas, and tacos are automatic. These are like everyday items. And then like a special would be like obviously Taco Tuesday. You gotta do a Taco Tuesday. It'd
Right.
be disrespectful not to, you know.
You
And
have
then
to.
like I wanna do signature wraps on Wednesdays, you know, all sorts of kind of wraps. And then obviously I wanna do dishes because like platters, you know, with rice, beans, chicken or steak or something. And then I'm gonna have my vegan options. I got you. I know my vegans out there. I know. I got, you know, we ain't gonna leave y'all out. So like these are the things I'm gonna dabble in, you know. And then like I'm gonna have like a smooth. I'm gonna have smoothies on there. Saturday or Sunday is gonna be like a smoothie Saturday or smoothie Sunday, you know. And then like these, I have a few more pitches, you know, but I gotta run it through my notes real quick. But
That,
these are.
Andrew, that's cr like, do you have
That's
like
a
a
lot.
business plan? Like, do
Yeah,
you
part.
have everything but the truck basically at this point?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I mean, and obviously, I know it's gonna come down to me cooking it and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, this is what I enjoy doing. You know, my roommate's very fortunate that, you know, he has a roommate that enjoys cooking. Like I made ribs, mashed potatoes, and seasoned Brussels sprouts and broccoli last night. So, you know, and these are the things I do. Like I reinvented the coleslaw. I don't do it like how, you know, whatever the hell they serve in other places, you know, but
How do
I
you do
reinvent, you
coleslaw
know.
differently? How do you do it differently?
I use avocado.
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 Wow.
Yeah. So I use
Interesting.
avocado, get that cream base into it, a little bit of milk, celery salt, a little bit of mayo and Thousand Island sauce. Whip that bad boy up. You know, hold on. Why am I giving out my ingredients? Hold on. My fault. Yeah.
Okay, don't
Get
give a
that
secret
part out of
recipe
here.
away.
We'll beep this part out. We'll beep
Yeah,
this
you
part out.
know, like that's me. That's I'm gonna have burgers, chicken sandwiches, all sorts of things.
Winnipeg is a big food city. Like, would you consider like a soft launch here? What's next? Because I'm curious if you couldn't maybe, you know, like what if we got a big Valor FC logo on the side of it? What if we put your face on it? Like, what's it called?
See, now the name is something that I've been dabbling on because, you know, a lot of things come into mind because I'm really mixing in multiple cultures into this truck, you know. And I feel like that's one of the things that's so important as far as when you're opening up a business and you're pushing something, because not all the food is going to be Haitian food, you know, but a lot of food is going to have, like, you know, there's going to be Hispanic food, there's going to be American food, there's going to be all sorts of things. So what a name that I was looking for was like Toro Lao, you know, and in Spanish that means like all sides, you know, so all sides of the world, you know, or todo mundo, or por tout, for everybody, you know, so everybody can enjoy something from this trip, you know, if it's you know, maybe you can find something on there, you know. I'm still dabbling in names, you know, trying to figure out what it is. I don't want to be too cliche, but like, come to Drew's food truck or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Branding is important. You got to get the brand.
No, it would be Drew's Chews, I think. But you're right. That's too much of a cliche.
Yeah, I like it. You know, we're brainstorming here. We're brainstorming. Nothing's in paper yet.
No bad ideas yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this is something I want to dabble in later in life, you know, because, I mean, I really do enjoy cooking, but I know for sure I should probably, like, go to, like, culinary school just so I can, like, hang a certificate up on the wall and everybody's like, ooh, you're certified, you know, so, you know, it just makes people feel better, like, knowing if I was like, oh, you did, oh, you finished culinary school, oh. You know, so
yeah,
that may be something that I go do myself, and then we'll see what happens. But ultimately, I just need the truck. When I get the truck, and then we'll go from there.
If anyone has a truck willing to sell, let's set Andrew up a meeting. Yeah. This sounds unreal.
Yeah, I'm hungry now. I'm really hungry now. My God.
But to be honest with you, I'm not gonna be one of those guys sitting out there during a lunch shift, you know, waiting out there for, you know, I'm not doing that. I'm strictly only putting it out on Fridays and Saturday nights. I'm putting it outside of bars and clubs and stuff like that, because let's be real, drunk people like to eat. You know what I mean?
that's where the good money is, yeah.
It really is. And they're always looking for something to eat, but what's open at 2 o'clock in the morning? Nothing, but Jewish food truck is. So you know, this is, once again, I have a few ideas, you know, I want to put in place, but we'll see what the future holds.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect for the full business plan to come out here, but okay, I guess we should talk about your job currently with Valorant. Very quickly. I mean, we're almost already out of time. Like, maybe we'll. I just want to ask about the group, because we haven't, you know, Coach Rob Gale's had a couple quotes out of here so far. Like, what's your impression on this team so far? And like, what they, you know, what they look like. There's a lot of new players there. I'm not sure who your roommate is. Maybe he's a new player, but
it's Moses Dye.
Okay, fair enough. Your impression of the team so far out in Winnipeg?
Oh my God, I like, you know, coming into the season, I looking at the guys that we had from last year, I'm just like, okay, we're still putting together a good, you know, core group of guys, and you know, we're definitely gonna compete, you know. And but then I start seeing some of the other talent that Rob brought in, and they took time scouting and bringing in for us. And you know, I ain't gonna say no, you know, I don't want to jinx now, but hey, you know, it's gonna be a very exciting season to watch us play. You know, we're gonna have a lot of exciting players for people to, you know, really get get attached and, you know, enjoy watching, you know. And I think that's the most important. You guys are gonna enjoy watching us this year with the new guys that we brought in combination with the guys that we have last year. It's gonna be a very enjoying game to watch.
I think you guys started on Monday, is that right?
Yeah. And yeah, just as
well. It's Thursday as we're recording. I don't know. Has there been anything notable so far? Like, has anybody scored a sweet goal? Have you scored any sweet goals in training?
I've had a few goal line clearances. Okay. Moses actually banged in a lefty today. It was absolutely beautiful. So I like cleared it out. Daryl took a volley. Goalie saves it, and then like ends out in the other box. Moses just like got it to his left foot and just line drives it lower corner on the other side. I was like, I had to clap it up. I mean, he scored against me, but I had to clap it up. I was like, okay, not too bad. No, don't worry. we got some bangers on this team. I think right
this is what you know we have to get, unfortunately, during the age of COVID, is people describing things to us, because unfortunately you can't have videographers in there, but Andrew, thanks so much for giving us that description, and thanks so much for the chat today.
Absolutely, no problem. You know, I enjoy talking to you guys.